This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Sharmila Gunnison and Sumitra Selvaraj. And today we are celebrating International Day of the Girl Child. And earlier we heard from some very famous young changemakers.
I think we should keep the theme going. You know, there's really, as far as I'm concerned, there's really no such thing as too much focus on the rights of children. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think for us, especially the rights of girl children, right? Girl children, various communities are so discriminated against and deal with disadvantages mm-hmm. that their male counterparts don't. But then what if girl children have to contend with a double discrimination?
While we know that women and girls with disabilities are subjected to multiple layers of discrimination, the statistics about the extent to which this happens are really shocking. The United Nations estimates that 75% of women with disabilities are unemployed, and women with disabilities who are employed often earn less than their male counterparts and less than women without disabilities. But the problem is also very much rooted in the education opportunities, because while the overall literacy rate for people, persons with disabilities is 3%, UNESCO estimates that it's just 1% for women and girls with disabilities.
Shocking.
That is. And we also know that women and girls with disabilities often face disproportionately high rates of gender-based violence, sexual abuse, neglect, maltreatment and exploitation. In fact, studies show that women and girls with disabilities are twice as likely to experience gender-based violence compared to women and girls without disabilities. And as much as some governments try and deny it, women with disabilities are often denied reproductive health care and at times are even subjected to forced sterilization.
And by the way, this forced sterilization, we're not going very far. We're looking at some countries even like Australia, which doesn't have legislation against forced sterilization.
And even if healthcare services are available, they may not be physically accessible for women with varying types of disabilities, or healthcare providers don't know how to accommodate these women.
So to me, it's gut-wrenching, right, to think about institutionalized discrimination. And it's also quite easy for people to sit back and think, well, that's all okay, that's horrible, but, you know, it only happens to people in less developed countries. But you know what? It happens right here in Malaysia, too. I spoke to Nadira Basu, a person with disabilities advocate who has osteogenesis imperfecta, otherwise known as brittle bone disease. When Nadira was born, she had multiple fractures in her body, and the doctors prepared her parents for the worst. But today, she's a vivacious 26-year-old who's a vocal and committed advocate for inclusivity and continues to inspire people with her tenacity and ferocious spirit. But as a school-going child, Nadira had some unjust hurdles in her path.
My challenges that I faced, I would say, firstly, was not being accepted in a public school. My mom had to fight for me for an education because I was deemed in the middle. Like, I was not among the mentally challenged, and at the same time, I was not what was deemed as normal, right? So I had the challenge of going to school and being readily accepted because they were like, oh, she doesn't belong here, or they would give some sort of excuse where, you know, we don't want to take care of her and things like that. So my mom fought for my education, and she said that it's okay. I will be in the school with her, and, you know, my daughter needs an education. And so that's when the ministry accepted, and that's when I got into a public school. So that was my first challenge. And then my second challenge would be not being able to move around like my other peers, and not being able to participate in sports. I used to have a lot of pain in my body. I used to get sick a lot as well and be hospitalized. So all these challenges were quite difficult to deal with. And, you know, I felt very alone and isolated as well because my peers, some of them, they turned against me because the teachers would compare me with them and they would say, like, oh, she can do it, why can't you do it? So, you know, things like that. And that just pushed them away from me. So I felt very alone as well.
Nadira, when you meet and speak with young girls with disabilities today, what are some of their greatest concerns and what do you say to them in response?
All right. So first of all, I think the main the main thing that I've noticed is that their confidence and self-esteem gets affected. You know, they just want to be treated like everyone else, but unfortunately they are not looked at the same way as their peers, and there is a sense of bully and sense of isolation, like I went through as well. So I would say, firstly, I would advise them not to focus too much on their physical challenges. You know, I grew up being a Baha'i and believing in the Baha'i faith, and my religion has taught me that, you know, what matters is your soul and your what is within you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think I would tell the young girls out there like me to not really worry too much about how they are looking or what other people think about them in general. I would say just focus on what is within you and try to make a positive impact, because you were created for a purpose. You were created to do something for this world, you know. You were not created just out of the blue for no reason. So I would just say, just try to focus on that. And also, I want to add, I went into modeling recently, and the reason I went into modeling is because I wanted to be an ally for these young girls, to show them that, you know, beauty is very subjective. Beauty is not something that the media is portraying, you know, the skinny, perfect figure kind of beauty. But I want to break that stigma. I want to break that that barrier that the media has created. And I want to show these girls that, hey, anyone can feel beautiful. Anyone can be a model. Anyone can do whatever they want to be, whatever they want to do, and be whatever they want to be.
And finally, Nadira, what would you like to see change in terms of rights for girls with disabilities?
Okay, so if I focus particularly on girls, I know that there are a lot of sexual harassment cases, and so I really hope their rights will be protected. And, you know, I know that there's the Sexual Harassment Act coming up, and I hope that this act will include protecting the rights of people with disabilities as well. So that, you know, if anything happens to them, proper action can be taken. And then secondly, I would say schools should have a standard operating procedure for handling people with disabilities, regardless of whether you're a girl or boy. Maybe they can have both, you know, like girls may need different needs compared to boys, right? And they may face different challenges as a girl. So I think it would be good that the school is aware of this, and the teachers are given the training to equip themselves to handle these kinds of girls or boys, you know, in general, especially people with disabilities. And one more thing I'd like to add, I think this has been highlighted so many times everywhere. All buildings and all, you know, facilities, transport, everything, it should be made mandatory to be accessible for everyone. Not just PWDs, but everyone, you know, work towards an inclusive society so that when we want to be included in the society as well, right? And right now I feel like essentially what the public is telling us is, okay, you don't have to come out, you know. PWDs can just stay at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that has to change. That has to really, not only does a system have to be in place, but a proper audit system has to be there as well. So that, you know, when they are auditing this building, they can make sure that everything is in place.
That was Nadira Vasu, Persons with Disabilities Advocate, who raised many vital points about inclusivity. All buildings, all facilities should be accessible to everyone.
Right. Yeah.
And to wrap up the segment, I want to share with you one final developing story that we will be keeping our eye on. A young girl with disabilities is suing the city of San Diego because she says the lack of adequate sidewalks and curbs in her neighborhood affected her quality of life. She's a minor. She can't be named for legal reasons. She has a variety of conditions that require her to use a specialized gait trainer. And she wants the city to upgrade the curbs to include sloped access so that she can have full and equal access to the neighborhood and its amenities. It just so happens that maybe 70-80% of the city does have those sloped access points for the curbs. Her neighborhood doesn't. So the city of San Diego is saying, oh, it's just a technical violation. You know, majority of the city is covered. But she's like, no, every part of the city needs to be covered. And I think the lawsuit was filed in July, and we're definitely going to be keeping an eye out for that one.
But that's amazing, isn't it? Another girl, you know, finding that gap where the adults have failed her, and she is just stepping up and doing it. And again, a person with disabilities, she's a younger with disabilities.
Something like, you know, imagine a government official turning around and say to you, well, you know, it kind of follows the code. It's just a technical violation. And she's saying, well, it might be to you, but it's not to me.
Well, we did have a WhatsApp come in from Maggie Best, who said, when I hear about all these caring and courageous girls and what they're doing, I can't help but tear up and think there is hope yet for humankind. May their good works and efforts be rewarded.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, I have two young daughters, and I, you know, listening to these girls and what they're doing, I always wish that, you know, my girls grow up to be like that, you know, to be unafraid, to not let any barriers stop them from everything that they're capable of achieving. And I mean, that is, I think any parent would feel that for girls and boys, you know.
Mm. I think there's something quite particular. I mean, there is an International Day of the Boy Child as well,
yes,
and that's
May.
In May.
Yes.
You know, but to me, the reason why sometimes this is notable is because for so long, the voices of women have not really been heard in so many areas in life, right? So when we celebrate these young women, instead of shutting them up, instead of telling them, you don't deserve to be speaking about these things, you don't deserve these platforms, I think that's something worth celebrating again and again and again.
And I think it also teaches young girl children, right? It teaches them that you can continue to speak up throughout your life. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, right? How women reach a certain age, young adulthood, and they enter work and they find themselves constantly silenced in workplace communication, in communication with maybe their elders, communication when it comes to choosing a life partner. And it keeps going, right? And perhaps where it starts is the 8, 9, 10-year-old girl children of the world turning around and saying, no, my voice deserves to be heard right now.
We just got a WhatsApp in from me who said, thank you, BFM, for program content showcasing young girls who want to make a difference for themselves and society. One can't help but feel inspired listening to them. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you for saying
that.
Thank
you.
But, you know, do continue to share your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can always send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. And also, more importantly, find ways to celebrate girls who are doing, well, children who are doing wonderful things.
I agree.
And, you know, let them speak up and give them that platform as well to speak up for the things that they say that needs changing.
So we have Max, who just WhatsApped in response to our persons with disabilities advocate, who, you know, as a girl faced a lot of these discriminations herself. And Max wants to know, walking down some roads in Kuala Lumpur, I've noticed that many would find it difficult to navigate with physical disabilities. Are new sidewalks and roads in KL and Malaysia more broadly required to be accessible to those with visual or physical disabilities?
I would say, oh, that's a good question.
One,
And, you know, Nadira is definitely listening to this segment, I know. Well, maybe we'll connect them.
And on that note, someone else WhatsApped in and said, my mum is disabled since she was 3 due to poliomyelitis. Malaysia has to upgrade the facilities for the disabled. Sometimes I wonder what the use of pedestrian bridges are without escalators or lifts for the wheelchair bound.
Yeah, I think
an excellent question.
Yeah, it's about time we get a town councillor in maybe to address this specific question.
Yes, that is something on us to do though.
It is.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But do look us up on Facebook, BFM The Bigger Picture, if you want to drop us a message. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can download that on the BFM app or also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Sumitra is going to be sticking around and she's going to be speaking to Bukit Gasing Adun Rajavishakaran and crime prevention specialist Shamir Rajadurai about the recently released Social Prosperity Vision 2030, which has identified a crime prevention index as one of the 8 social indicators of a progressive Malaysia. Right. So that's going to be interesting. Stay tuned for that. And, you know, call in if you have any thoughts as well. For now, it is Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics with Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.